Hi, this is Ash Alder with the Wizard's Respite Sanctorum. This is a show where we dive into all things TTRPG, RPG, games, books, everything. As always, I am here with my good buddy, Zach.
Hello.
Zach, how are we doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. We're back. We have been long away from the ears of our listeners, but guys, life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be back.
I am too. Like you said, life gets in the way. December is always crazy. Holidays are crazy. That's what we're
Yes.
dealing with right now.
Yes.
And but I'm happy to be back and making these things again and chatting TTRPGs and RPGs. And we got a fun topic today. We're going to be talking about game books. A different type of RPG than I think we've really talked about in the past, but I love just talking shop about this stuff, and I think this is going to be a fun topic to dive into.
Yeah, I think it is too. I'm already showing the people some of the delightful game books that I have of the Lone Wolf. The Lone
Lone
Wolf
Wolf.
role-playing adventures. Is that where you want to start?
Yeah, let's start with Lone Wolf. Because that one's new to me. Like, I think I read part of one 100 years ago when I was a kid. Couldn't finish it because honestly, I think we were moving and I lost it.
Oh.
And it was such a long time ago, I can barely remember it. I used to be really into the Choose Your Own Adventure, which is kind of a different thing. We'll get into that in a
Yeah,
second.
we'll
So
definitely talk about it.
tell me about Lone Wolf, man. Like,
So,
how did you get into that series?
I am obsessed with games. All things games. All things games. Both digital and on paper. No, when I was a kid, I was constantly looking for escape. One of the big one of the first things I kind of found it fell into was Choose Your Own Adventures, the Taekwondo Master or Kung Fu Master books, where it always spoke as if you were the person, and somehow you were actually a Taekwondo person or something like that. And I'd get very into those, and that's how I ended up stumbling into Lone Wolf. Actually, a buddy of mine I don't really talk to anymore. He was my best friend for many, many years. His name's Scott Bell. If by some chance he listens to this, hi Scott. He actually was the one who turned me on to Lone Wolf and D&D in the first place. Not role-playing games. Not role-playing games. Role-playing games, like I said, was me and my brother bought Robotech, didn't know what it was, had to get our babysitter to tell us. Scott, however, was somebody I met not too long after that, and he had a D&D group, and he kind of pulled me into that. And then while I was over at his house, he loaned me one of his Lone Wolf books, and I was hooked from there on. And I have almost a complete collection of the OG ones. I think I've got like one through five, and then I'm missing like six, and then I've got, you know what I mean? I'm missing like two or three of them. But yeah, they're these little books. They're the size of like Choose Your Own Adventure. What you would do is you had a little character sheet in the front of the book. I'm showing the people. Wizard can't see it, but I'll show him later. Don't worry, guys. These little character sheets and combat records. So you'd actually write in the book. I never did. I always put it on a separate piece of paper. And then the very back of the book has a random number table, which is basically a D10. You could do it with a D10, but it's a random number table that you were supposed to close your eyes and point your pencil at whatever it was to try and get the to figure out what the result was. And then there was little combat rules somewhere in the back. Very simple, straightforward thing. And then the rest of it was a choose your own adventure. So you would do the choose your own adventure. You read it. It'd give you a choice. You'd go somewhere. You give your choice. What was really cool about this was you would pick up equipment and have to put it on your sheet. And then certain choices that you make would, like, if you have a rations, go to this page. If you don't have a rations, go to this page. You know, and stuff like that. So, like, if you had enough gold, sometimes you could buy your way out of fights, stuff like that. And it would tell a story, a quest, through the book if you survived. I loved these books. These books were amazing. I loved playing them. I have gone back to them recently, and realized there was some things about them I didn't like. The biggest problem with this book, if I can give my cons, is that they still have the choose your own adventure thing of sometimes you just pick wrong and you're dead. And
right.
Like, I hated that. Like, give me a random roll or something. Like, it would just be like, well, I'm going to go down this cave. A plant eats you. Like, come on, man. I got a character sheet in the front. I can't use any of this shit to stop a plant from eating me. Like, stuff like that would be really frustrating. But overall, yeah. And then you could actually, if your character survived, you could play the next book with the same character. And it actually had some quick rules in the beginning to, like, up some of your stats. And you kept your equipment through each one, which I found incredibly fun and cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely, like, a step up into the gaming system from, like, Choose Your Own Adventure 2. Because you have, like, your stat card, mm-hmm. and you're collecting loot and items and you know, random... sort of dice roll, sort of like pencil point kind of
mm-hmm. yep.
Strategy there that you can sort of put into the game just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And like, I kind of feel like for my research into the solo game book genre, it really seems like Lone Wolf took it to kind of another level, because you had Choose Your Own Adventure, then you had the Fighting Fantasy, which was another very much like Lone Wolf. You had a D6 that you would play that with, and a character sheet. But it seemed like Lone Wolf really became its own thing, and you had a character that you really followed through the entire mm-hmm. series, which is also really cool.
I mean, if you didn't randomly get eaten by a plant,
right? Yeah.
You had to backtrack.
If that.
The old choose your own adventure thing. The fuck, I'm dying right now. I'm about to go back to where did I come from? You learned real quick to always save your page with your thumb when you went to read the next thing. Like, so you always mm-hmm. had like a second one. And it was like, because if you let that go, you had no idea where you were because everything's so randomly scattered throughout the book. So like, you'd be like, oh no, I'm dead! I have to start over! I didn't keep my thumb in! Shit!
So this was like the first save point?
Yeah! That's good. Right there. Save point number one. So the first use of save scumming in games.
Was the thumb.
Was the thumb. Thumb it up. Yeah, I think that Lone Wolf is really cool, because Lone Wolf... Honestly, until I got into TTRPG Twitter and found Last Tea Shop, Lone Wolf was the one and only thing that I could think of that I could play myself. Like,
okay.
By myself. It was it. Like, if other than that, I needed to find friends or I needed to find a video game.
Right.
Like, that was just that simple. And that's one of the things that I loved about Lone Wolf, was I could just sit down and play the game myself. Decide what my character was doing, and it's all just contained in this little itty-bitty book. That was really, really fun. And I would go to the bookstore and scour them for the ones that I had missed to get into them.
I remember doing that when I was a kid, and I used to love that. Like, going, mm-hmm. like I did that with the Choose Your Own Adventure. I actually don't have that many of my... I'm not even sure I have any of my old Choose Your Own Adventure games, because, honestly, I did that a lot at the library. Going in and looking for a choose your own adventure game, that I haven't played yet, and just flipping through it. It's like that in and of itself is an adventure for a child.
It is. There's a lot of things that, like, in this new digital world we've lost as adults It kind of sucks, because I can't even, like, explain it to my kid. Like, the idea of, like, going to a secondhand bookstore and trying to find these game books, you know?
Yeah.
So that I could get them in the right order and continue the story correctly. Or even the comics, like, because comics are just too much money now. And in a lot of ways, they're broken. There's just so many things, like, that just don't... blowing on a cartridge. that's lost.
Yeah.
Which is good. It was never good for your cartridge, guys. Never good for your cartridge. But yeah. Everybody blew for the cartridge.
Oh, yeah. 100%. The thing starts freezing up, and that's the first thing you do. It is kind of a lost thing. I remember occasionally going to the secondhand bookstore and trying to find all of that stuff. And then with the digital stuff, like, I don't know how kids are handling it today, because, you know, you can just look it up online and find it, mm-hmm. or see, you know, there's that mystery, that hunt,
yeah,
isn't there anymore.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's an app for Lone Wolf. I found a couple where you could just literally, you can download it for free. It has all the books and it keeps track of your scores, and you can just play Lone Wolf on your phone. Like all the original books.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah. Kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's sort of a mixed bag there. There's a bittersweetness to it.
There, it really is. It really is a bittersweetness to it. But again, it's the same thing with, like, it's so many things. Like, video games are like that in a lot of ways. The couch co-op Halo days are gone. I remember the LAN parties where it would be me and 8 other friends from school. We would all go to one house. We'd bring our TVs and our Xboxes. We'd connect them onto one network in different rooms, and we would all play Halo together. Those are some of the most fun I've ever had in my life doing that, and that is completely gone. That will never exist again. There was, there's even role-playing games in a way, because how many games do you play right now on the internet? Like, personally for me, on a whole, it makes it better for me, because you don't have to leave your house, but you still get that camaraderie. Also, I love streaming it because it's always recorded. Like, you can always happened. Like, I just, even if nobody watches it, I love the idea that there's a record of it. I'm not just doing it for me, you know. But at the same time, how many sessions do you go to where you sit down at a table with snacks and play with your friends for 4 hours in the night? Very few, because you got wives, you got kids. I have one right now, but before that I had zero, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely see that. And like you were saying, like, it is good to have this kind of stuff online. I have friends who have moved away that I'm able to continue to play with online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've met new friends like you and have been able to, like, you know, really, like, explore other systems that I wouldn't necessarily have because...
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been really crazy. We have been... I don't know. I can't speak for you, but for me, like, my role-playing game... like, my role-playing game, I don't know how to say this. I just get to play so much more role-playing games now.
Yeah.
Like, since you and I have hooked up on the probably better way to phrase that, but on the internet through the website, like, I mean, we've played Stunfish Sitting There. We played Last Tea Shop, Amongst the Fallen Stars, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Astral Drive. There's just so many that we're playing now, and it's just so great because we have the ability to do that without pissing everybody we know and love off.
Yeah. And, like, you can't, like, it was cool you could go and do that when you were in school, maybe if you found the right group, which was hard. We've talked about that on the show before.
Yes.
There's, like, a secret code to trying to make... nerd friends and back
we have
in high
talked
school.
About that yeah. Or even nowadays, like, Philbilly had a lot of struggles with that, you know, when he first got into it.
But with the so there's good and bad to the advancement of technology, and what it can bring to our life and what it takes away from our life. But one thing I'd say, like, going back to these game books.
This is true. We've been on a digression.
It's good that, you know, like, Lone Wolf, like, in many ways is I think it's getting a resurgence. You know, I've heard about a lot of people really diving into it. There were some books, as I was doing some research on this, that were never even released in America. The author was I think, a British author. But now, you know, people are able to, like, get into that. And I think that resurgence is starting to bloom into more opportunity for the game book to kind of come back, to make a comeback.
There is, in fact, a TTRPG of Lone Wolf. I remember they did a Kickstarter. I couldn't remember if they were successful or not, but there is a Lone Wolf adventure game that features the world of Magnemund, which was the Lone Wolf one. But yeah, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Just saw that, wanted to put it out there.
No, and that's perfect. And because, you know, then, you know, the genre as a whole can, like, kind of hopefully spread out a bit more.
Yeah.
And come back. I think sometime middle of last year, I did a review on a game that was coming into production called... I think these games, the resurgence of Lone Wolf and the popularity growing again, is giving an opportunity for new systems to come out along this line. I did a review of one called Witchbound, I think in the middle of late last year. That was a really fun, interesting game. It kind of used a map system in combination with the game book system. Right. So you'd have a map, and there was a code on all these different locations on the map, and you could flip to a different part of the book, read what the code said, like, this is a path to another room, you can leave this room, or this is a person, an NPC, and you can interact with them, you could talk to them, ask them a question. And then it'd give you the same sort of options that these game books would give you. You know, do you say yes to the quest that they're giving you, or roll a d6 because you're about to get into a fight?
That's really,
I don't think it's released quite yet. I think they're still working on their Kickstarter. Can't wait for that game to come out. That's going to definitely be a hard copy that I got to pick up. but you know, like if I'm hoping that, you know, like, RPGs have gotten a resurgence in, you know, the last decade to really, like, I'd say, like, the last 5 years in particularly, like, they really, really popped with the pandemic pop, kind of sitting everybody at home and playing on Discord. Hoping that it'll lead into the game books having a resurgence, too.
Yeah, it's hard for me because I kind of almost feel like the solo games are kind of the evolution of the game books in a way. Like I hope this in no way, shape, or form insults like Last Tea Shop or Lost Amongst the Starlight Wreckage. But like games like that to me are like the evolution of the game book. I don't necessarily need the game book when I have those, you know. They're also much more compact. They leave more to your imagination, and I'm never getting just randomly eaten by a plant. I think that like that is one thing. I know we've talked about the solo game so much on our channel, and we've even played it, and it's something that I find very interesting and cool. Since it's a facet of RPGs that somehow in 42 years of life I've only recently discovered, and I think that that's really cool. I think that like. The game books are interesting to me because my biggest problem with game books is they always have these like finalities to them that I never cared for. Just the thumb, you know, the thumb. I never wanted to need the thumb, you know, and you always need the thumb. And even in Lone Wolf, you need the thumb. Hate that. I wish that like there was a little bit more, honestly, with the Lone Wolves, I wish they were written without any automatic deaths. I think they would have benefited just from also doing skill checks. They don't do any real skill checks in there. There's a couple of, like, you know, randomly guess a number, and if it's this to this or this to this, this is what happens. But, like, I would have loved to see more of that just so that I could survive situations. I mean, I've said it before. Gaming is a power trip. You play it to feel powerful. You don't play it to feel helpless. Playing it to feel like you feel helpless in your normal life. That's
right.
Like you don't need a game to simulate helplessness. You know, I think that like you need a game to feel strong and powerful and like vindicated. So like
get that catharsism going.
Right.
Cathartic
right.
release, yeah.
Right, right, exactly. I'm a fat old idiot in his basement. I don't want to be a fat old idiot in his basement in a game, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
I know I won't survive the plant. I want to be pretending to be somebody who can survive the plant. And I think that, like, that's one of the biggest problems now in my age, not as a young adult, but with my experience, that's one of my biggest problems with them is I never really felt that sense of power with them, you know, that you get from, like, just having a really good game master who understands what an RPG is, you know, or even the new games that we've been playing, you know, like, and... Yeah, Amongst the Starlight Wreckage, was it, not to spoil it if somebody hasn't watched it, our stream was very depressing. But that being said, I think the story to get there was the right story. Plus, you set it up with kind of like a negative downer, you know? But like T-Shop, you can't really die in T-Shop. It's not about that. It's about the role-playing. And I think that, like, there is a way to have a role-playing game in your head because I have tons of people in my head that are constantly yelling at me. So that would be my only thing. If game books come back, find a way to make your reader feel powerful, not just at the whims of you, you know? That would be my big pro on game books, I guess.
I can definitely see that. Right, right. I can definitely see that as a big con on game books and as a whole. Because, yeah, there were several moments reading through, you know, even the Choose Your Own Adventure and that stuff where you turn, like, I remember one in particular, I was so pissed off. And, like, I think my dad was there and he was like, why are you so mad? And I was like, because I went down the river and a UFO came over and abducted me and that was the end. And my dad was just looking at me, he's like, What kind of book are you reading, boy?
That's nice.
And because I mean, he had no idea what I was doing. But the one thing I did like about the game books that I haven't experienced yet, and I'm sure there's one out there because there's so many solo RPGs out there. But I haven't experienced yet about the solo RPG. I really liked the narrative and the story that you got. You got like it was a novel you played, right?
Mm-hmm.
And though a lot of the solo RPG games that we have now are more sort of generating your own story, which is great, and I love that about them. They don't always have a narrative. Like, you don't always necessarily have that bad guy that's already right. there that you walk in hating, you know?
Yeah, that's
true. And you
won't
go and get him.
That's true.
A lot of them are more coming from yourself. And now, you know, that's, you know, not exactly going to... I mean, to be fair, you have, like, the dungeon crawl RPG style, solo RPG, that maybe offers that also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know. There's just this story texture with the game books that I really enjoyed a lot.
I will 100% agree with the bad guy thing. That is true. Even Four Against the Darkness, there's a boss at the end, and you can attach a story at the end, but like, you don't even know who the boss is until you run into him because it's procedurally generated. So like, with the game book, you got that, like with Lone Wolf, there's this wizard that you're just constantly at odds with for the first, like, I want to say the first three full books. So, like, it's definitely like, okay, all right, I get that. You have an actual, like, established antagonist that you have to deal with, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. So there's give and take. It's they're their own thing. But I do agree with you. It would be nice that if they do make a resurgence, that they do kind of, at least they don't give you a scenario where you just walk in and you're dead. They give you a scenario where you get to fight and then you die.
Well, the other thing is, too, is Lone Wolf's combat system is very severe in the way that you are always taking damage. how they do it is you compare your combat score to their combat score, and then you randomly generate a number between 1 and 10, and that determines how much damage each of you takes each round. So, like, that's how combat works, which is really frustrating to me, because you're always taking damage. It's just this constant, like, uphill step walking with the fights. That's very frustrating. Especially, you just told the story about the UFO. One of the biggest stories for me is in book 2 of Lone Wolf. It's called Fire on the Water. And it all culminates in this huge sea battle, right? That is one of the big culminations. And you are kind of, like, running around on the ships trying to get to this wizard to kill him. And you end up, jumping onto another ship, and the jump onto another ship usually costs you damage. And then you end up falling through to the hold where there's a Death Knight who has just this ungodly amount of, like, combat score. So you have to get extremely lucky to win that book. And that was always super frustrating to me because it was at the very end. Like, it's like, so I've gotten all the way here. I take a bunch of damage from this fall, and then I fight this guy, and it's like, it was so nearly impossible to get through that. And that's the kind of thing that, like, man, I just wish we put a little bit more thought into it. I would love for Lone Wolf to come back, but Lone Wolf to be done by, like, one of these people who do solo TTRPGs, Spring Villager or somebody, to take a look at the system and go, here's how we could make this better, you know, and, like, revise it. I think that would be, I would be all in on that. If you could give me, like, a revised Lone Wolf, I think that would be amazing, you know? Where's that Kickstarter?
I think we just invented one. Oh, the next project after the millions of projects we're already working on.
we've definitely spread ourselves thin. That's how we roll. I've got a lot of things I want to work on now that Single Mod's out, including the next version of Single Mod. I already have some ideas. Yeah.
2.0?
I've definitely noticed, now that we've been playing it for a long time, some of the, some of the perks that could use some tender love and care, some other things that I see that I could be like, we probably don't need this rule, we could probably take that out, you know, stuff like that. But that's Single Mod. I don't know. I know this would be a short show, but I feel like we've covered this topic, unless you got anything else to add to it.
I think we did too. I think I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think it's compact and tight, and I think we're good.
All right. Well, if you want to wrap it up then, man, we can do that.
All right. Well, is there anything you want to plug before I sign us out?
Please go to itch.io and buy Single Mod if you want to try a new TTRPG system like I just talked about. It's only $6 on itch.io for the PDF. It is rules light but still has a nice fun build system to it. I'd really like more people to purchase this game and get involved with it. And other than that, you can check out everything we have to offer. I'll keep it to TTRPGs since that's what we do here. Stump Gang, TNMNT, and Astro Drive returns in January.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and as always, you know, the Wizard's Respite will have all of these episodes airing on the website, wizardsrespite.com. Also have a bunch of stuff up there that articles, reviews, and I'm starting to sell T-shirts up there now. TTRPG themed T-shirts, from Dungeons and Dragons to dice to, you know, pretty much everything we love about this hobby. I'm trying to figure out a design to really put that out there. Also, very soon, I'll be selling these dice towers. They are actually made by my sister. They're really a lot of fun. You know, pop them right open and just start rolling. These things are a lot of fun. These are a blast. But I think that's pretty much it for today. I think the show really, really dove deep into a pretty old topic that those of us that can remember really, really love those books. Yeah. Got some nostalgia remembering and playing them again. I can't wait to actually see what you got there in your library. But I guess until next time, everybody keep rolling them dice, and we'll see you then.